I want to encourage those that weren't here last Sunday to get that message and either, you know, watch the live streaming, the tape version, or the podcast, and go back over that. I was just I was talking about, you know, division, and I'm going to talk about that, continuing with that today, division and the power of unity, and was really directed to for some things that we can do for this country and for our state and for this city, some practical things that we can do. And, you know, the church has to stand up and be the church. You don't realize it, but we're keeping everything together. It's not the politicians. It's not a lot of things. It's the church. You take the church out of here, and this country will fall apart in a minute. We're keeping it together. And that's why the church has to stand up and walk in their authority and be who they're made to be, and really rise up in this hour and not back down and shrink from our responsibility and our authority. So let's continue with this theme of unity and remind you of what it says in Matthew 12:25. Let's put that up there, amplified version. And knowing their thoughts, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom is divided, split up, divided into parties, divided into factions, against itself is being brought to desolation and laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will last or continue to stand. And the enemy likes to work with division. He likes to divide and conquer. I mean, he doesn't like any group, including a marriage or a family or a business or a team, any organization, to come together, because he knows there's power in unity. And so he's going to do whatever he can to bring division, and his earmarks are stealing, killing, destroying. And so he's wanting to divide things. And so we got to watch our marriages right now. We've got to watch our families right now. I mean, the signs of the things that are happening in this country are an indicator of what the enemy's trying to do at all levels. And that's where it's leading, and he's trying to divide us. But if we will stick together in this hour, I mean, good things will happen. God's got an amazing things for us right now. So then there's power in unity, and I'll read again Psalm 133 in the Message. It's the shortest psalm in the Bible, but it's very powerful. Psalm 133. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. So in unity, in agreement, there's power. There's blessings. There's the blessings of God. It flows in unity. Matthew 18:19 talks about the power of agreement, and it talks about a symphony and coming into harmony. If two of you shall touch anything on this earth and agree, it shall be done for them. And so people coming together is a powerful thing. That's why the marriage covenant is so strong. That's why there's such a fight against our marriages. I think half of the marriages inside, outside the church and in the church end in divorce. I think now they even have a higher rate of divorce in the church. There's just a fight against relationships, because the enemy knows two people coming together in covenant, how powerful that is. They can do anything. And so I want to encourage the couples that are together that have a vision that God's going to do amazing things. You touch and agree. Stay in agreement. That's for somebody there. All right. I was reading the book of James this week, and I've got some clarity on things. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will bring the same revelation to you as I've been seeing things. The book of James is one of my favorite books. It's at least in the top 10. And there's some really good things there in the book of James. So let's look at James chapter 3, verse 13. And I think these verses really fit right now. And it'll be hit home for everybody here. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That is really, really good stuff there. This could be a year's worth of sermons right there with all that. But it's cautioning us here about what envy and strife will do. Envy and strife destroys friendships. Envy and strife destroys relationships. It destroys unity. It destroys productivity. It hinders progress. It weakens morale. And it does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. And envy and strife can cut you off from relationships that God intended to be a blessing in your life and ended up being a curse. It has a lot to do with division and dividing and breaking things up. And again, remember John 10:10, what the mission of the enemy is: to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to do that with every group, every team, every organization, every family. So let's talk about a couple of these things. Let's talk about envy and strife as we move forward here. Envy is this word, and again, there's different, in the Greek, you could have the word envy, say, in the New Testament, and it could have, four or five different Greek words for that word. Whereas in the English, we may have maybe one definition, maybe two, for a certain word. And so Greek is more specific with the word, what that means, and so they can kind of get us focused a little better with some of the words they use. But this word envy has to deal with a fierce desire to promote one's own ideas and convictions to the exclusion of everybody else. Meaning what you believe is the best, it's the only way, and everybody else is wrong, their ideas are wrong. And what happens is you become so passionate and zealous about your ideas and opinions, it blinds you to what someone else has to say. Meaning you won't listen to what they have to say. You don't want to hear what they have to say. And you can see how that can be a problem, especially if what you believe is wrong and what you believe is a deception. Deception is believing that what you're doing is right when actually it's wrong. That's deception. And that's what the enemy wants for you. He wants you to be passionate about what you're doing and doing the wrong thing. He wants us deceived. He's the deceiver. And so you hold this point of view, and again, you're not willing to listen. Now, look at my brother Frank over here. Frank, I'm just going to start using you every week. You're so good for all of this. How many know that Frank is an Atlanta Falcons fan? Who all knows that? If you're on Facebook, if you know Frank, he's passionate about the Falcons, and you don't want to be around him when they lose. Am I speaking truth, Frank? A little bit of truth. Now, I am a Vikings fan. I don't know. I think we have probably anybody else in here besides maybe my sons. No one. This is all working towards my sermon illustration right now. But let's just say, I mean, I become so passionate about purple and gold that I won't even talk or listen to someone that's red and black. And whereas so much so, I don't want to be around you. And if I do get around you, I'm going to talk about my purple and gold. You talk about my team, and your team sucks. I'm going to put down your team. This is why my team is better. But it's like you're so passionate about what it is you believe, you can't fellowship with someone from another team. You can't be around them. You don't want to hear what they have to say. And you're in your mind, you're tearing them down. They're losers. You know what I'm talking about here? And you know, and that's why it's ridiculous at a sporting event, and this has happened all over the world for soccer, rugby, football, whatever, the people will get in a fight about their team. That is lunacy. That is total craziness. What are you fighting for? How is that? I mean, if that's your cause, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If that's your cause, you're pathetic. If your sporting team is your cause, they can't change the world. They can't change a man's heart. They can't change a city. They can't change a nation. But that, again, that's just it's the world's thinking and the world's ways. But you see this about envy? It's about self-interest. It's about what's important to me, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or has to say. And really, it doesn't matter what God has to say. It matters what I want. It's about my needs, about me getting my needs met. You know, that's the battle we have going in this country. It's about people, self-interest. Really, when you get down to it, there's a lot of self-interest right now fighting about things. So envy is inward. It has to do with the heart. It's an inward thing. Now, strife is outward. Strife takes envy to another level, and that's where you start being vocal about your thoughts and your feelings. This is where it's a divisive spirit, a divisive party spirit, seeking your way. And then what you're trying to do with strife is you're trying to get other people to join your party. So you're talking to people, talking down others, talking down the other side, trying to get people to agree with you and to build a coalition so you can gain some power. And again, its strength lies in tearing down someone else because they're different. And then strife, where it leads to then, it leads to shouting matches, it leads to arguments, it will lead to a fist fight, it will eventually lead to murder. If the anger and the passion is so strong, I mean, it just overrides all rationale. And where you do and say things you can't even believe that you're doing. And again, that's where the enemy works, is in the feelings and in that passion, in that rage. That's where he wants to operate. So this is strife, you know, and again, this is an outward manifestation of envy or self-interest. It seeks to belittle, to tear down, criticize. And so, and again, you want to get other people to think less of these other groups, these other people. No tolerance for anyone who sees things differently. Strife leaves people who are once standing shoulder to shoulder separated and filled with hurt. And that's what what the enemy, again, wants you to do. He wants you to operate from anger. He wants you to operate from offense. He wants you to operate from hurt. He wants you to strike back. And you can really see. And I think, and you know, and talk about the country again. I talked a lot last week about the media. And again, I'm not saying all the media is evil, but you know, when you get to the love of money, it's the root of all evil. So there's a lot of money involved here in media, and so they like viewers, and the good story, the story of harmony and peace, doesn't get the ratings. I mean, we like destruction. We like death. This is sad. I mean, as far as our viewing pleasure, we prefer the evil over the good. And so they're constantly trying to stir up things. And it's about ratings, because ratings, the higher the ratings, the more advertisers they'll have and the more they can charge for that advertisement. Does that make sense? And so they like things being stirred up, because it attracts people to their newspaper, their magazine, their program. So he's operating. And then another thing is, and then too, I think the internet has really promoted division. Have you ever read like an article about something? Maybe it might be, you know, maybe USA Today, or you know, or maybe even like a column in a magazine or something like that. And then have you ever read the comments? I'm telling you, there is some nasty comments, and you get people going at each other. I mean, they are brutal. They are cutting, they are tearing down. I mean, really nasty stuff. Seriously. People that don't even know each other. And it's like they're coming to blow with their words. And so there's so much hate and anger towards others. Isn't that amazing? And so I think that is, you know, we have a lot more outlet. You see a lot of things on internet, a lot of on Facebook, a lot of divisive things there. And again, good people, but they don't really realize what they're doing. They get angry about something. They want to have a voice. They want to be heard. So they put something on there, but they don't realize it's just adding fuel to the fire and dividing us even more. And see, you're tired of me saying this, but Facebook to me is not a place to express my opinions. If I want to express, I'm going to do that with my wife and my family and my friends. I'm not going to put it on Facebook. Words can be misunderstood. So let me just tell you what social media is for me. It's about influence, and it's about ministry. And it's about staying connected with people, because I am more connected with people's lives through the social media. And that's the reason why I got on in the first place, was because a lot of the young people were using it and I was not connected to them. And so I wanted to be more connected. So, I mean, you can do what you want, but I think if you're on these social media sites and you're trying to voice your opinion, I understand you want to be heard. But you're not making things better. You're just adding to the problem. And then it really comes to here, even in the church, it's really sad that we have people, believers, spirit-filled believers, who know about agape love, battling it out on Facebook. You're really stupid. Seriously. And I'll just tell you, I don't read your stuff. I mean, if I see it, and I put your political stuff, your racial stuff, your all the other things. I don't read it. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to comment on it either. I'm not going to read it. And so I'm going to do things that are positive, and promote peace, and promote unity. I'll get off my soapbox. Move on. But some of you just won't listen. You can't control yourself. Fruit of the Spirit is a self-control. And you just need to wake up, you know, and follow the Holy Spirit. Did the Holy Spirit tell you to make that post? Did you pray about it? Did you ask God? All right, moving on. You need to listen to your pastor. All right, so what it says here, envy and strife, what it does, it causes confusion. The enemy likes to work in confusion. We see a lot of confusion today. The word comes from the word thorn bush. Because confusion will entangle you and ensnare you, and it's going to be painful. But confusion leads to civil disobedience, disorder, anarchy. Confusion destroys relationships in teams. And this is what happens. Rational thinking is replaced by raw emotion, just by emotion and anger. And it's going to end up with people getting hurt. Now, so if you've got confusion in an area of your life, that's not from God. Confusion at work, confusion at home, confusion in a relationship, that's not from God. And don't accept it, and watch yourself, because you're going to want to deal with it. And that's where we're getting the problem, is to try to deal with confusion in the flesh. Because if you deal with it in the flesh, you're just adding more kerosene to the fire, and you're going to make it worse and not better. So, what's another word? Drama. Some people, they just have a lot of drama. Wherever they go, there's drama. That's not God. That's self-interest. That's about you. That's about you getting your way. Are you glad you're here today? Is there confusion, Susan?
There is.
All right. She took care of that. Well, when I get passionate about what I'm preaching, and just everything, the microphone moves around here. God's not, he doesn't want drama. Remember when we were talking about last week about the whole thing about praying for our leaders? What was the result? A peaceable life. Peace. God's into peace. God's into harmony. God's into coming together. And that confusion leads to evil work. That means demonic, stealing, killing, and destroying, bad behavior, hurtful words, and actions. So, but in these verses here in James, it talks about then wisdom from below. And you've heard of the dark net. This is dark wisdom. There's wisdom from below, then there's wisdom from above, which is from God. And of course, the enemy wants you to work in the wisdom from below. Worldly wisdom is wisdom that is only concerned about you and your needs. It's basically selfishness. It does not take into consideration those around you. It is about what is best for you. And that's why we've got to watch out for the whole thing about blessed to be a blessing, because you can get so focused on being blessed, you forget the purpose is to be a blessing. And you think those blessings are all about me and having my needs met, and he wants to meet your needs. But he wants to bless you so you can be more generous. So worldly wisdom is not from God. How do we get worldly wisdom? Well, there's a few. I just want to share a couple of the things. First of all, it comes from experience. We get wisdom from experience. I mean, we learned at an early age, if I touch something, the stove, the burner, it's going to burn me. So you do that one or two times, you learn from experience not to do that. But where you can get an error is if something happens to you and you take that as truth and it's really not. For example, when I was about 13 years old, I was coming back from the state fair in Minnesota. And they got an amazing state fair up there. And I was walking, it was midnight, late at night, and the buses weren't running. And so I was just walking home by myself and walking down this busy street. And there's a Hispanic guy walking towards me. Pretty big guy. And, you know, I'm walking by him to kind of just say hey to him. And the next thing I know, I just see stars and I'm on the ground. He had walked by me and I was kind of going. And somehow, I don't know, he hit me in my face. Just smacked me in the face. And I've got a scar on my nose from that incident. Knocked me down. And I went to I think it was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I'm just bleeding and all that. Now, let's just say then that from that point on, all Hispanic people are evil. They're out to get me. They're out to hurt me. They're evil people. Now, would that be correct thinking? That would be a deception. And that's where experience can be a negative thing, is where you take it and use it in the wrong way. You can learn, wisdom comes from other people's experience. We learn particular things at home or people that we're close to. And again, we learn things that are not God's word. It's not agape love. But we value those opinions and those thoughts. Wisdom from below comes from meditating on the enemy's lies. He says he's shooting fiery darts. He's trying to plant seeds of doubt and unbelief and fear. Every day he's trying to plant those seeds in our mind. There's wisdom from below comes from our fallen nature. That's what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh is about selfishness. Our flesh is about doing the own thing. And for someone not born again, you have a fallen nature. You have a dead nature. It's alive to Satan. And you want to appease the flesh. So that's going to come to a lot of wrong decisions. There's the unrenewed mind. The unrenewed mind. And we all may have areas where it's not renewed. But the mind has to be renewed. It has to be cleansed. It has to be washed out. And so there's some wisdom, some dark wisdom that is there in the unrenewed mind. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Then there's just, you know, pure selfishness on your part. And this concerns me about people in the church today is they don't have any regard for God's word. Either they're ignorant of it or they don't know it. And so we have people in the church that just do things contrary to the word, and they know it, but they just don't care because they want to do it. So they'll tear out pages of the Bible and kind of stay away from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will convict. And if you're not condemned, but convict, and if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he convicts you of something, you'll make the change. Because you want to do what pleases him. But there's some people, I don't know, maybe they're deceived, but it's basically the root is just selfishness. I want what I want, so I'm going to do it because it makes me feel good, so to speak, even though I know it's against the word of God. A whole lot of that going on in the church today. Okay, so that's wisdom from below. Now, what is wisdom from above? What's wisdom from above? Well, first, let me define what wisdom is. Wisdom, I'm talking about godly wisdom, wisdom from above. It is knowledge of the deep things of God. So it has to do with knowledge. It has to do with light and revelation and truth. It's knowledge of the deep things of God and the ability to put that knowledge into action in the decisions and personal relationships of everyday life. Did you catch that? So it has to do with knowledge of the deep things of God, but then it's applying that knowledge into actions in our decisions, in our relationships, in everyday life. And that's what we need. We need wisdom from God right now. Well, you need it all the time, but we especially need it right now. Because there's a whole lot of confusion going on, a whole lot of drama. You don't want to feed it with the dark wisdom. That's earthly, sensual. The Bible says it's demonic. You know, that's why we need to be in church right now. churches that are preaching the word and preaching truth. You need to be in church. You need to be listening to the word. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm getting into my points here, but wisdom comes from several places. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Let's look at Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So His Word comes wisdom. From His Word comes understanding. From His Word comes knowledge. And the Holy Spirit will help you interpret what you're hearing to apply that in your daily life, because that's where, you know, the Bible says we need to be hearers and doers of the Word, then we'll be blessed. You want to have wisdom from God, not just have, you know, puffed up with a lot of knowledge, know a lot of scriptures. I know those kind of people too. Doesn't result in anything, but it has to get into your behavior, into your daily action, where it's going to mean something. Because if you apply truth, God's truth, it's going to bring fruit. It's going to bring the blessings. It's going to bring success in God's eyes, not worldly success, in God's eyes. It's going to cause you to move forward. And that's why there's, you know, there's this battle over the word and hearing the word. I mean, really, and I'm not condemning anybody here, but really, how much time in the word have people spent this week? I mean, if we could, you know, it'd be great if we had like some kind of indicator. You know, we can do colors or percentages. I mean, it would be really helpful for me to, I mean, I can discern it by the Spirit if He gives it to me. I can hear what you're saying. I can see the actions. I can tell a lot from that. But I wish there was some kind of indicator. It would help me to you know, with people. But the Word is alive. The Word is full of power. The Bible says in Matthew 4 that it's bread. Just like you have physical food, it's spiritual food. Proverbs 4, verse 4 says this: He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get it. We got drama and confusion? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. And so I think what happens is, you know, the definition of insanity, you know what that is? You do the same thing over and over, and you're trying to get different results. You've been doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. That's insane. You're going to what your natural knowledge, what you've always done, and it's not working. So what do you need? You need wisdom from God. You need light from Him to know how to proceed. You keep doing the same things, it's going to continue with drama, continue with confusion. And that's where the enemy wants you to be. God wants you to have light. He wants you to have wisdom in your daily life, every day. He wants you to have wisdom for today. He's not trying to withhold it from you. But one of the surefire ways to get wisdom is to be in God's Word. And really, there's no excuse today for not being in the Word. We've got so many apps and programs and YouTube and podcasts and live streaming, all these different tools to hear the Word. And I think maybe the church is hearing the Word less than ever. Because of just the life, the cares of life. And the cares of this world, I mean, it chokes the Word. All right, second thing goes right along with this is meditation on the Word. Look at what Joshua 1, verse 8 says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will deal wisely. Everybody say wisely. And have good success. Meditate. What's meditation on the word? It's taking a scripture and thinking about it outside of your study time. I like to use, you can use note cards or things like that. But it's thinking about the word during the day. Last night when I was, you know, and always when I'm preparing for messages, but it always on Sunday nights when I'm before I go to bed, and even when I wake up, I'm thinking about scriptures. And like today, I was thinking about scriptures on wisdom, and I woke up and my first thought was about wisdom. I'd been meditating on it. I've been thinking about it, putting it in my heart. And when you do that, and it's amazing, when you do that, revelation comes. God opens up. There's like layers of light, layers of revelation in scriptures. You know what I'm talking about. And meditation is the key to peeling off layers and getting more revelation. Even on scriptures you've heard 100 times, there's still more, Kelly. Some of these things, how many times you heard some of these scriptures? There's still more light and revelation that God has for you. Another way for wisdom is prayer in the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Got to get moving here. I'm winding this up here. I'm just trying to help you today. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to live in drama. I don't want you to have envy and strife in your homes. I want you to have peace and harmony and unity. Because in that kind of environment, I mean, you're going to thrive. You're going to prosper. You're going to move forward. And even though, you know, 1,000's falling over here and 10,000 over here, it's not coming near your home. Prayer in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, we've been talking about in flow about the gift of divers, different tongues. That's a gift of the Spirit. But there's also, for those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, prayer in the Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. There's a difference. Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, talking about prayer here, my spirit prays, but my understanding is fruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And so whenever I pray in the Spirit, and that's a lot of my prayer time is prayer in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And I'm praying in another language. I'm praying in a heavenly language. I don't understand what the words mean. It's the Spirit of God praying through my spirit. I'm yielding and speaking that out. And it's at my initiation. But I asked God, because of this verse, I said, God, help me interpret what I'm praying about and bring it back to my mind. Sometimes things come in prayer time. A lot of times it doesn't. But I feel we had some extended prayer in January and extended prayer time in June. I feel like I'm getting some revelation right now in my life from those prayer times earlier this year and in June. And the revelation's coming now. I'm asking God interpretation of what I'm praying about in the Spirit. The next point is really, really simple. You know this one. Ask God for it. Ask Him. You know this one. James 1, verse 5, Amplified. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given to him. And you can go on and read those verses, and it talks about when you ask him in faith. So every day we should be trusting God for wisdom, asking him for wisdom, trusting him for it, expecting it to show up in our lives. The next one, number 5, we've been talking about this, is the word of wisdom. And this is the gift of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. a word of wisdom is knowledge of is supernatural knowledge of the future. That's a good thing, right? Isn't that a good thing? I was praying one time before a service, and I wasn't even praying about this, but the Lord showed me something about my stock account. And talked to Susie about it. We made the move, and little did I know that Federal Paper Board was merging with International Paper, and normally when you have stock, it's going to increase. So he showed me something that he didn't tell me about the merger, but he said to go ahead and make that move. It was about future events. It was a word of wisdom. I have a lot of words of wisdom about services. I'm praying about the service. I see myself doing something in the future. And so what I do, and then I'm just trusting him and following him, then I'll act out what I saw during the service. That's a cool thing. And words of wisdom are available when needed. She's giving you future information today. And he's trying to show you something. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. And if we ever needed words of wisdom, we need it now. And the last one is fellowship. Fellowship is sharing. Put up that scripture from Proverbs. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And this is something that, you know, I got saved in the 80s. And, you know, it was big on cassette tapes and, you know, listening to those things and going to different, you know, meetings. I really didn't have a good church, and so that really was my church. I spent a lot of time with people talking about the Word. And that was kind of the culture. And because the preachers I was listening to, they talked about the importance of getting together and about talking the Word. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time you've gotten together with someone outside of church and talked about the Word? Do you have people in your life that you can talk about the Word? I'm so blessed to have someone like Susie. Now, I know we're both preachers, but we've been married 30 years, but we did this before we were preachers. We spent a lot of time talking about the Word and what we're learning and what God's showing us, and we're sharpening each other, and so much revelation and light comes from those conversation. And I have other people in my life the same way. Talking about the Word. We got to get back to that, guys. Start talking about it in our homes. If you've got drama in your home, start talking about the Word. You got drama, you know, in someone that's close to you, start talking about the Word. Start fellowshipping. Start sharing about the Word, because wisdom and light and understanding will come. I'm telling you guys, right now, we're living in an amazing time because, you know, if sin is abounding, then grace is going to abound much more, right? If confusion is abounding, which it is, and drama is abounding, I don't know if there's really more drama or we're just hearing about it more because of all these different avenues. You know, there's always been the division and strife. Maybe we're hearing about it more. And because we're hearing about it more, we're giving more attention to it. And because of that, we're giving more action to it. And so it's kind of a cycle of drama and confusion. And so most likely, we're going to probably see more. But what that means is, it is an opportunity for wisdom like never before. Because if confusion and drama are abounding, then wisdom and understanding and knowledge is going to abound even more. You are living in such an amazing time. You don't have to live like the world. You don't have to go the world's way. You don't have to be caught up in all the world's mess. You can have provision. You can have increase. You can move forward. You can do amazing things in this time if you'll just look to God. Look to His wisdom. Stop doing the same old things. Get out of that rut. And it's like you're going to the file cabinet and just looking at the files that are already there. The answer's not there. You need some new files. Paul's prayers are so much about light and revelation and understanding. He wants you to know. He wants you to know the mysteries. He wants you to know the deep things. But he can't give you more if you're not even doing anything with the little that you have. His will is not drama. His will is not strife. His will is not division. That is not his will, and that's not his plan. But what we're doing is we're just sitting there and taking it. Faith people are just sitting there and taking it, and many of us are joining the party. And we don't realize the power of our words. And so what are we doing? Gossip. Tearing people down. Criticism. Party spirit. Hey, I can fellowship with you if you're a different political party. I'm not any political party. But if you have different beliefs than me politically, we can fellowship. Why, if you're a different political party, should I hate you? Because really, what can the government do? I need to wrap it up here, but really, what can they do? They're not our source. The government doesn't have the answers for this country. The church does. You're putting way too much faith in our politicians and these people, and you're getting them all mad about the other party. We got to wake up, folks. You're just falling in the trap. You're just going with the ways of the world. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go with the way. I'm going to go with God. And he's got a way right now and a tremendous opportunity for the church. And the church has got to take their place. We're not going to have division and strife in this city because Good News Church is here. Now, I know we're not the only church. But things aren't going to happen because we're here because we know our authority. We know the power of our words. We're not going to sit and take it. We're not letting the devil come into our city and tear it up and divide it and destroy it, steal, kill, and destroy. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. I'm a believer. I'm in Christ. I've been given the power in my words. My heart is filled with God, and I speak it out. And when I speak it out, it brings change. I've got a hope today. I'm not giving up on this country. I'm not in fear. I'm not sad. I'm not down. God's got a plan. We got to follow him. Read in the Bible about all these desperate situations that Israel or the church was in. And God, every time that they'd follow him and listen to him, victory. The enemy wants you paralyzed, sitting in your home, afraid, not wanting to go out. Just this week, I had a situation where there was confusion about, and just been praying about. The Lord gave me direction. It was to call a certain person about it. And I'm telling you, words from heaven came from that man. In the natural, the situation's not changed, but it changed in me. We need each other. Stand up, everybody.